Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Mark 14:43-52, arrest. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. We come to the infamous kiss. Judas, we're told, one of the 12, feels rather redundant. Then he's named as the betrayer. See, this is the point. Mark is staccatoing these elements to point that this is the aspect of betrayal that marks the turning of salvation history. It took someone from within the family to make the betrayal. It took one of the 12, the inner core. Kiss was a sign of hospitality and friendship. And to add insult to injury, Judas uses the title Rabbi. Interestingly, in these moments, we see the fulfillment of one of the principles of Scripture from Proverbs 27:6. It says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Now we see the desertion of the disciples. They all run away. As Mark gives the story, he mentions a young man. Strauss, in his commentary, says, "This is one of the strangest things that you would even have in the gospel account." And I think this is part of the showing of the historicity of the gospels. Why would you include something like this? Someone with a linen cloth about their body seized and they run away naked. There are a couple theories around who this person is. One is that it is John Mark himself, or maybe simply just an unknown follower of Christ. That person would have been known in the time and maybe wouldn't have been necessary to repeat the name. Or maybe Mark's giving us a clue that he saw these things happening. Whatever reason, what we do see is that the sheep are scattered. Jesus had already said this was going to happen. But this isn't just something that happens to him. He uses these words, "but let the scriptures be fulfilled." Again, acknowledging the eternal plan of the Father. Absolute trust. Wow. We get to see again the example in Jesus of how we're to find a life of peace in a world that's constantly in turmoil. The so what is a reminder of who's in charge of the story. It's not those who would come to arrest Jesus. It's not religious leaders. It's not Judas. It's not even Jesus himself. They're all actors in this process. They're going to have to submit their will to what's happening. But the true storyteller is the Father in heaven. We get to see that betrayal comes very close. In this account, the now what then is an amazing trust that we can have in the Lord. That trust becomes absolutely essential when we go through difficult, harrowing circumstances and situations which challenge our faith. Kind of things that wake us up in the middle of the night and cause us to have to fight to find our peace. Jesus in these moments models for us that our Heavenly Father is always telling a better story. And that we can trust him, that he even has the ability to redeem the incredible pain that we might experience in our life. And so, Lord, today we declare our trust once again. I think of earlier words that Peter said as some of the disciples began leaving. Jesus asked them, will you leave also? And Peter says, where will we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Even when trial comes, where would we go, Lord? You are the one we cling to. In Jesus' name, amen.